joined again by contributor Larry Nangest, talking this week about where things stand with summer learning in the first state. It's always something that schools and districts and charters take a look at during the summer, but this summer has been more important than ever because of all the issues created by the COVID-19 pandemic. Larry, we appreciate you taking some time to look at where things stand as this summer starts to draw to a close and we start looking ahead to a new school year. Thanks for being with us.
I'm glad to be here, Tom.
So, Larry, back in May, you reported on what some of the plans were for summer learning around the state and the resources and money that were being made available. In broad terms, is what you found in this recent reporting going to meet those ambitious goals?
Well, in the broadest sense, yes. Now, in terms of how well everything is actually working, it is indeed too soon to know. Yes, the COVID-19 pandemic has led educators to do things differently this summer, just as they had to do things differently in the recently concluded school year. The most significant difference is that the federal government has poured millions of dollars of pandemic relief funding into education, and that money has allowed the state and local school districts and charter schools to set up summer programming on a scale that no one can remember seeing ever before in Delaware. Now, there is a lot of what I'd call fuzzy math surrounding the participation numbers that have been collected, and there's no comparative data from previous years easily available. But what we do know is that well over 14,000 public school students, and that's more than 10% of the regular school year enrollment, are participating in some form of a summer learning program this summer.
So we do know that there are a lot of students taking part. In the most basic terms, do we know if these students are getting the help they need? Do we have a sense that these extra students accessing summer learning opportunities are getting what they need and or whether we've got in a typical year?
We can say that the students are getting access to the help that they need. For example, everyone in grades 1 through 6 has free access to online literacy learning programs. Everyone in grades 1 through 8 has access to similar math programs. Students at all grade levels have free access to all of the e-books in the state's library collection. Now, that's just the level of support that the state is providing. On top of that, at the district and charter school level, expanded programming is available, and this includes basic academics, enrichment, social-emotional learning, and tutoring for students with high needs. Now, the specifics of each of these programs and offerings vary from district to district, but the reality is that they are offering more than they did in the pre-pandemic world. Note, however, that I did say that the state and the schools are providing access. That doesn't mean that everyone is signing up to take advantage of these opportunities. Just as with the COVID-19 vaccinations, participation is voluntary. It's not mandatory. And now there's one other point worth making here. The emphasis with most of this summer programming, especially for the younger children, is on engagement and readiness. It's about getting kids reacclimated to the school environment and making sure that they're ready for what they're supposed to be learning in the fall, even if they didn't have a chance to absorb everything that they should have learned or might have learned during the last school year.
So your piece hits on a few charters and districts around the state and what they're doing. Let's talk about some of them. We'll start with Frieri Charter in Wilmington. What has their approach been?
Well, Frieri, like other schools that have the high school grades, is offering credit recovery. You know, that's the contemporary euphemism for making up the classes that the students failed during the school year. But Frieri is addressing the issue in a different fashion. And it's not offering like a full year algebra course starting from the beginning and working your way through to the end. Rather, it has broken its 7-week summer program into a series of 2-hour blocks, with each block lasting 1 week. So, if a student flunked algebra, for example, he could make up the credit by taking 3 of these 1-week mini courses, with each one of those courses concentrating on a different algebraic skill. That may or may not equal a full year or a semester's worth of class hours, but the point is he's had concentrated learning on those specific key areas within the general subject of algebra. Now, like Many of the classes here at Freire are designed also to make academics fun. There's a science class that's focusing on engineering themes. And I was at the school a week or so ago, and the class spent one day on its own version of rocket science. They were using scissors and tape to create little paper rockets and seeing how far they would fly when launched by being blown from the tip of a straw. Now, the overarching theme here is that the students are deciding what they need to learn, and the adults at the school are helping them do so. And the kids are showing up because school is becoming a place where they want to be. They don't have to be at school, but they're there because they want to.
How about Great Oaks Charter? You had a chance to check in with them as well. What are they doing?
Well, now Great Oaks, which is also in Wilmington, also does the credit recovery programming in the morning in a little bit more of a traditional way than Freire does. Now, its afternoon offerings focus more on enrichment with field trips, career skills development, money management, and leadership among the themes. Great Oaks also runs an all-day program at the Hicks Anderson Community Center, which is about a mile away from the school building. And the participants learn about topics like leadership, community service, other things along those lines. A week-long block on a particular theme. Now, one thing that's really interesting about Great Oaks is, you know, they're taking students from all area schools into their summer programs. And when I visited the program over at the Hicks Anderson Community Center, you know, about 15, 20 students in this large room gathered around tables, and they came from six different schools. So there's a lot of diversity. Kids who might not ordinarily see each other during the school year getting together, a really good mix and interchange of ideas.
Obviously, VOTEC schools have their own kind of unique challenges. You checked in with Newcastle County VOTEC School District. So where does it stand as it moves through the summer?
Well, the VOTEC district, and this is probably because they've got a unique sort of curriculum and anticipated some of the challenges. So last fall, they restructured their programming so that they were offering more courses on a semester basis rather than year long. And as a result of that restructuring, in the fall semester, most of the learning was done virtually. Students in the career track, you know, if they were learning plumbing, heating, electrical, whatever, they would take their course over a semester rather than over the full year. In January, they would take their final exams. Now, they might not have gotten all of their classroom, their shop work done, because of the virtual learning environment. So then they had the opportunity to make up those shop hours during the spring semester, even though they had already pass the written final exam, but they would make up the shop hours in the spring. As a result, VOTEC wasn't nearly as far behind as some of the other schools might have been in terms of completing the school year. Students who had problems completing the individual courses in the traditional subjects, things like English and math and science, social studies, they have a four-week online program that they're taking this summer to make up those classes. So overall, it's been closer to normal, a normal summer for the VOTECs.
Among the traditional school districts, your piece also highlights efforts at one of them, Colonial School District. They seem to have a pretty expansive operation going on. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Colonial is an example of a school district that's really going all in on its summer programming. Jessica Hitchens, who is running the summer program for the district, has been looking at this summer as an opportunity to do more. And as she says, the district's goal for the fall is not to go back to where it was pre-pandemic. Rather, she's hoping that the lessons that have been learned at the schools in the last 18 months will produce a stronger school system come fall. Now, at the elementary level, that means that in-person summer learning for the kids who want it, and among those students, targeting the ones who have the greatest needs for one-on-one tutoring. And those students are getting up to a half an hour a day of one-on-one tutoring, particularly in reading. They've got tutors from the Reading Assist Institute who are working with those students, and Reading Assist is working with students throughout the state this year. And then if parents prefer online learning, Colonial School District is making that available for them this summer as well. Now, for the middle school students, they've got a combination of virtual and in-person programming with a focus on literacy and social-emotional learning, plus enrichment in STEM topics, art, fitness, and dance. And for the high school students, credit recovery once more, but in addition to that, they've got STEM classes, they've got SAT preparation, and they've got other programs that focus on leadership and career pathways as well. So again, pretty diverse offerings, pretty comprehensive, and the goal at Colonial is that when they come back in September, they're going to be offering a curriculum and programming that is stronger than the district offered 2 years ago.
Obviously, the focus has largely been on students and getting them back on track. But how about teachers? What has the summer been like for them?
Well, yeah, the summer has been an interesting time for teachers. I mean, certainly since the pandemic hit, they've had to do much of their work virtually. And that's meant that they've had to develop new skill sets. They've had to learn how to use new technology. And they've had to develop new styles of relationships with their students. Now, as that Colonial administrator told me, the fall is not about going back to the old way of doing things. It's about taking what's been learned in the last 18 months and translating it into doing a better job. So, for the teachers this summer, what does that mean? It means they're doing some experimenting on their own. As they teach summer classes, they're doing some things that they might not have done in their regular, typical lessons over the years between September and May. They're using different lesson plans. They're trying different techniques. They're testing what works, testing what doesn't. Summer schools, also the class sizes, tend to be a little bit smaller. It's a little bit more relaxing atmosphere. And what this means is that teachers can also get more feedback from their students. They can figure out what's working. The students can be a little bit more candid with them about, whether this approach worked, whether they really like this, or whether that particular approach or a lesson plan seemed to be a dud, whatever. So it's easier for teachers to interact with their students and get rapid feedback when they're testing new methods. And certainly, the teachers that I spoke to are hoping that that means that they will be more effective come the new school year.
And since we're on the topic of hoping, is there a sense of optimism that summer learning efforts will actually bear fruit come fall? Is there still a sense of realism about what schools face as they get back to business this fall?
Both. We're hearing a lot this summer about those engagement and readiness. Those are kind of the two key words that educators are using. It's not so much about making up what might have been missed last year. Rather, it's about getting ready for what comes next and getting kids reacclimated to the school environment. Now, psychologically, I guess it's good not to be dwelling on what you didn't learn last year. It's better to tell students that here's what you need to know for when you get started in the fall. So you're looking at things positively. This combination of accentuating the positive while encouraging youngsters to rebuild the social relationships that may have broken down last year, it sounds to me like that's a good formula. But, if you think about it, look at the lower grades. Look at kindergarten, first grade. At those levels, you're going to have twice as many kids as usual who have never set foot in a school building before. So you've got two grades rather than just one, where just getting into the school building is going to be a brand new learning experience. So the optimist says that the preparations that are being made this summer will help get the school year off to a good start. And the realist says that there are going to be more kids making more adjustments when the bell rings for the first time. Now, my hunch is that the students are going to adjust well to returning to their school buildings. They're going to be happy to be there, happier than they are most Septembers anyhow. But I'm really not in a position to make any predictions at all about the academic outcomes that we're going to see when next spring and the statewide testing rolls around.
Larry Nangus, as always, we appreciate the time. We appreciate the reporting. Thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome, Tom.